Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying God's will, the basis for life's decisions. In this session, we'll be looking at Esther chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. What is God's design? Finding God's will in life decision. Does the Lord have a design for us? A plan? A purpose? Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 8 reads, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. And all we are, the work of your hand." And all we are the work of your hand. There are things about yourself you can change, such as your attitudes, behavior, and habits. And there are other things you cannot change, such as physical features, family heritage, and time in history. What you cannot change, you must accept as God's perfect design for accomplishing His purposes for your life. When you reject yourself, you're rejecting God's work in your life. When you are frustrated with your unchangeable features, seek God's wisdom to discern His purposes for them and accept His design. Self-acceptance requires faith and trust in God, whose plans and purposes are far beyond your expectations. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." God has designed your life with 10 unchangeable characteristics. Unchangeable characteristics. First, it's parents. God not only chose the father and mother who brought you into the world, He also knew the factors and circumstances that surrounded your conception and birth. Some of the weaknesses in your parents were passed on to you. To compensate for that, God provides grace to deal with them. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, "And He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" Second of these unchangeable features is your physical features. These are unchangeable characteristics. God prescribed your physical features before you were born. Your height, your voice, your body build, your metabolism, your complexion, your eyes, your ears, your hands, your feet, and countless other features down to the smallest detail. David tells us about this in Psalm 139, verses 13 to 15. "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lower parts of the earth." Also, your gender. God created only two genders, male and female, with a clear distinction between them. You can't change the way He made you. Wishing to be the opposite sex hinders your acceptance of the God-given responsibilities He assigned to your gender. Rejection of His design is sin. But in Christ, you can gain forgiveness and the grace to accept His perfect work in you. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. male and female, He created them. Also, your siblings. Accepting brothers and sisters involves accepting their personalities, their abilities, and talents, as well as their physical defects and failures. Through the relationships, God will develop character qualities in your lives. If you don't have siblings, God will use other ways to build godly qualities in your life. Colossians chapter 2, verses 12 to 15. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Also, your birth order. As you accept and understand the characteristics, tendencies, and needs that relate to your birth order, you can avoid the destructive rivalry and bitterness that are common in families. Ethnicity. Each ethnic group has unique cultural characteristics, but all are one race descended from common parents, Adam and Eve. Rejecting your ethnic background will produce attitudes of inferiority or superiority. Accepting heritage will help you see other people as the work of God's design. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Also, your place of origin. The place you are from, nationally or regionally, brings both benefits and limitations. It may include deficiencies you must overcome, but understanding it brings opportunities to build relationships. Galatians chapter 3, verses 28 and 29. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Also, your time in history. Since God has a special purpose for your life, He has brought you into the world at just the right time in history to fulfill that purpose. To wish you had been born in a different time is to reject God's purpose for your life. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Also, mental capacity. God created you with the mental aptitudes and abilities that are best suited to achieve His purpose for you. And then number 10, aging and death. God created Adam and Eve to live indefinitely, but the day they sinned, the death process began. Signs of aging are reminders to make good use of the life God has chosen for you. While looking forward to eternal life, aging should motivate us to invest in the lives of others, such as children and grandchildren, by counseling and teaching them. Psalm 90, verse 10, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. And then if you go to a couple of verses down to verse 12, So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. These are prescribed, these 10 unchangeable characteristics are prescribed for us by God. He prescribed these unchangeables in each of our lives to fulfill His purposes. Philippians 2:13, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure." What is God's design? Well, let's consider the life of Esther from her own personal perspective. Look at Esther chapter 4 and verse 1 down to verse 12 for some background. Esther chapter 4 verse 1, "When Mordecai learned all that had happened, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city." He learned that the king's assistant, Haman, was planning to destroy, to kill all the Jews. He went as far as, he cried out with a loud and bitter cry, he went as far as the front of the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province where the king's command and decree arrived, there was a great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her, and the queen was deeply distressed. Then she sent garments to clothe Mordecai and take his sackcloth away from him, but he would not accept them. Then Esther called Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, whom he had appointed to attend her, and she gave him a command concerning Mordecai to learn what and why this was. And then Hathach went out to Mordecai in the city square that was in front of the king's gate, and Mordecai told him all that had happened and the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasuries to destroy the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the written decree for their destruction, which was given at Shushan, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her, and that he might command her to go into the king, to make supplication to him and plead before him for her people. So Hathach returned and told Esther the words of Mordecai, and then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a command to Mordecai. "All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, but he has but one law, put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's words. And now look at our particular text, verses 13 to 17, with that background context. Verse 13, "And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, 'Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet, who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?' Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, 'Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish.' So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him." What were the unchangeables in Esther's life? What was God's purpose? She was brought to a point of decision. Did you have fears? Well, yeah. I mean, verse 11, the second part of it. Again, he has but one law, put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter that he may live. And yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. Did you make the right decision? Well, yeah, and why? Well, verse 16 says, I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. She answered the critical question, one which each of us must ask. What is God's design? Look at verse 14, the second part of it again. Who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? That is the first question each of us must answer to find God's will in all of life's decisions. God's design. What were God's purposes in creating this situation? What are God's intentions with this? What are God's goals for this? A Christ-centered life seeks God's perspective. A self-centered life seeks personal satisfaction. God's design for you is first reconciliation to Him. By placing your trust by faith in Jesus Christ. Have you done that? You think about that, and you have a great day.